Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to Almost Famous, the podcast where I meet other people who grew up with famous family members and discuss how that has affected their journeys through life. Thanks so much for all of your amazing feedback on the show so far. If you haven't already, please do press that subscribe button and tell your friends and family about the show if you think it's something they'd be into. My guest today is actor and writer Rosalind Blessed.
And the review came out and said the highlight of the show was some girl doing an impression of Brian Blessed.
Rosalind studied at Central School of Speech and Drama and quickly found success in the theatre with roles in Octavia for the Royal Shakespeare Company at the Barbican, Canterbury Tales at the Southwark Playhouse, and Titus Andronicus at Arcola Theatre, amongst many others. For television, Rosalind has appeared in Someone You Used to Know on Discovery and the BBC's daily drama Doctors. Rosalind is about to perform two self-penned plays, The Delights of Dogs and The Problems of People in Lullabies for the Lost, at the Red Lion Theatre in London. She'll perform these alongside her actor mother, Hildegard Neal, with her dad working as executive producer. Rosalind's father is actor, writer and television presenter Brian Blessed.
Walking down the red carpet and dad introducing me to everybody as his Russian sex worker.
Brian has been prolific across theatre, the small screen and film over a near 60-year career, with his most famous work including Zed Cars, Return to Treasure Island and Blackadder on television, Flash Gordon, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves and Much Ado About Nothing on film, and playing both Old Deuteronomy and Bustopher Jones in the original West End theatre production of Cats. Brian has also appeared on the brilliant primetime television quiz Pointless Celebrities alongside his daughter and today's almost famous guest, Rosalind Blessed. Hello, Rosalind.
Hello.
Oh, the long intros that I write. I tell you what,
Why do it to yourself?
Well, when writing this one, I was like, well, this one's going to be shorter than the last one.
Yeah.
And then inadvertently, I can't do it. And actually, in terms of... the first question I like to ask is, what did you think of your intro and would your dad have been okay with his?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, his could always be longer, to be honest. I think, you know, the more we can talk about Brian Blessed, the happier Brian Blessed becomes.
Is that right?
He likes to be seen, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. That's, you know, we're getting straight onto his ego straight away. But interestingly, you make a really solid point, though. He's done so much stuff that it was just a matter of kind of cutting it down to... what I thought were the most memorable stuff for
me. And
he just
keeps going and going and going as well. I mean, he's as busy now as he has ever been. And he just keeps on finding... I think younger people seem to just chime with Dad. You know, there's something about that insane energy.
He is rocking the F out of those Ladbrokes adverts at the moment, that's for sure.
Oh, I love it. Don't run away. And it makes me sad.
You've already done an impression of him, which is great because I'd actually written, can you do an impression of him? And then I took it out. I was like, no, that's too embarrassing.
Oh, well, no, please. Yes, I remember I did in my sparkling career, and no one knows more that the pinnacle of anyone's acting career is impro.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a lot of comedy impro to ones, tens of people.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But we actually got reviewed once. The only review we ever had, and... within the show, I'd done an impression of my dad about me, starring me, including me, and very, very much about me. And And the review came out and said the highlight of the show was some girl doing an impression of Brian Blessed.
An excellent Brian Blessed impression. It could almost have been him. That's amazing. What a great review. I did want to ask, we've kind of moved on from what I wanted to ask, which is, of course, about Pointless Celebrities first. I love that show.
Oh, that was stressful.
I used to work in television, and I think it's one of the great formats of our time. And I would love to go on Pointless. And in fact, I've wanted to go on Pointless, but I can't because I used to work in TV. So as somebody who has been on it, yeah, I'm excluded.
Oh,
I'd love to go on The Chase as well for the just to be fair. But what was it like? How did you do? I couldn't find any clips of it.
You can find it. It was really great fun. I mean, Dad and I quite frankly, I don't think we took it as seriously as one might.
Right.
But we did end up getting through to through to the final. So we got our trophy.
Yeah.
So I got that at home, which but we then did manage to mess it up at the end.
So
unfortunately.
So you got through to the bit where you have to come up with a pointless answer.
Yeah.
And do you remember what your topic was that you had to think of?
I think it was the song about the animals from Dr. Dolittle and the most pointless animal on that.
Oh, so
did you think would be in our
so
area?
An animal that was in the song that nobody remembered, basically.
Yeah, okay. I know. That's true.
I wouldn't know that.
But what really sailed us through was my knowledge of nuts, and I'd just like to have that on the record. Mm-hmm. That's what saved us.
And why are you so knowledgeable about nuts?
I don't know. A bit cooking obsessive. When my career was just so terrible when I came out of drama school, 8 years of next to nothing. I think I just got into cooking because it was a minor way to get applause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I may not be the first one to suggest this, but if you do such an amazing impression of your dad, why doesn't your dad just... why don't you basically become your dad's voiceover person?
Just step aside.
And do his voiceover work for him.
I mean, I think it's selfish on his part, quite frankly, you know.
But he could take, you know, he
just
could
take... Just take it.
He could take 25%.
Yeah, exactly. Put your feet up.
Yeah.
Oh, this would be a really good... is that a scam? Or is it an understanding?
Well, you know the voiceover guy, Peter Dixon, right, who does, like, The X Factor?
Yes.
I heard from a well-known voiceover person in the biz that he basically nicked his voice off a previous generation voiceover guy who passed away.
Yeah, why not?
I don't
Absolutely.
Know.
I'm going to stop using this voice.
I don't know if that's true.
Start using this voice.
It's so perfect. I love it. Okay, I'm going to... this is a bit of a departure for Almost Famous, but I've created what I'm going to call a bullshit-o-meter based on your dad's Wikipedia page.
Oh, no.
Because it says that some of the stuff that it says he's done is just the most incredible random stuff that I've ever read. So I'm going to read something out.
Yes.
And you just say whether it's truth or bullshit, okay?
Right, okay.
This is all from your dad's Wikipedia page.
But is my bullshit because... Yeah. Anyway, go on, let's try.
Okay.
Has
Brian Blessed sparred in the boxing ring with the Dalai Lama?
I believe that's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Has he reached the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro?
That's true.
Bloody hell. Attempted to climb Mount Everest 3 times without supplemental oxygen.
That is true. The first time without oxygen, I think the other 2 attempts he did have it. So semi-bullshit, but mainly true.
Sounds true to me. Is he the oldest man to go to the magnetic North Pole on foot?
So I am told.
Okay.
Upcoming
is my favourite one. Has he survived a plane crash during an expedition into the jungles of Venezuela?
Yes, it's true.
I mean...
It's absolutely true.
And did this stuff all happen while you were alive?
Yeah.
I mean, is there no point where you or your mum just say to him, can you just stop?
Well, you know what? Sort of no, because he's so enthusiastic and so obsessional about it that it's actually easier if he just goes and does it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's just going to be sort of acting out the same things in the kitchen and it's quite expansive.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I just have this sort of feeling that he's indestructible, immortal, which is, of course, not true.
Well,
but that's how it feels.
This list on Wikipedia makes me think that maybe he is. Has he completed 800 hours of space training at Star City in Russia?
I don't know how long it was. He certainly has trained there.
And does he want to be an astronaut? Is that what that's about?
Yeah. He does. At this point, I may be kind of going, you know, Dad, you're 83. I think he's 83. Maybe it's time to temper a few ambitions.
You think he's 83? Do you need me to go to Wikipedia for that?
83 or 84? 83, I think.
Finally, in the bullshitometer round
of
Almost Famous, which I'm now trying to turn into a quiz format, and perhaps most dangerously, is it true that in 2006 he appeared on an episode of Loose Women? That's the most dangerous of all of them, as far as I'm concerned.
I know that he has appeared on Loose Women. There was, I believe, I didn't see it. There may have been chasing of Loose Women around.
Can you just, in a paragraph, because this podcast isn't actually all about your dad, it's about you and your dad, but and your relationship and your career in life because of growing up around fame. But I do just need to find out a little bit more about that plane crash.
Well, I can't. It was on route. Is it Aconcagua? My geography is terrible, as is my mountain knowledge, because I can't do any more mountain talk. I really can't. No. But he was en route to climb a mountain, it was a little plane, and it did crash.
What was the first you heard about it?
Well, I mean, you know, he doesn't have a mobile phone, nor would it have worked if he did. So I think it's got to be a couple of days later or so.
And is it like just a passing comment?
It may have been like a couple of weeks. We may not have known at all at the time. I file all this away under dad, you know.
Dad being dad.
Dad stuff.
Yeah. But I can say that not many children's parents have been in plane crashes. So it's not quite a scary thought. Was it a frightening time, or just because it had happened and you knew it was
by the time I knew it was okay. It's always sort of semi-frightening with dad. He's always doing something like a bit extreme.
Yeah.
But then maybe you just get a bit, you know, you build up a tolerance to that.
Well, like when I saw him on Stars in Their Eyes. Stars in Your Eyes? Stars in Their Eyes?
Stars in Their
Eyes. Being Pavarotti.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Very good.
He seems to be very good at everything he does.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all right.
I wondered how you felt when we first asked, or when you first found out you were going to come on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Whether being the daughter of a famous person has always been easy for you, or if you've ever found it difficult to talk about. How's your life been on that front?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, you know, I'm sure you do know, there's always a slight caution where, like, are people genuinely interested in you, or is this just a via to get to your, you know, your famous relative? And it does make, as you get older, you get a bit more jaded and a bit more guarded about that, and a bit more weary about it. It hasn't. For the most part, it's been absolutely fine. We just, our careers have been entirely separate, really. Mm. You know, his has been incredibly successful in the public eye, and mine is not at all. but I've got to do lots of really wonderful stuff, so, you know, I'm not crying about it. And fame itself, having looked at it, it's not... I wouldn't say it's something to actively really pursue. I mean, it does put a bit of an anchor on your life and what you can do. But also, it's inspiring to be able to go and see him. You'll be able to talk about artistic things, which is really great. Both my parents understand my career. Mm. Whereas a lot of my friends whose parents, they can be supportive, but they sometimes feel a bit lonely in that. They don't have someone to talk to really in depth about what they do. Mm. But then on the other hand, like when I was at drama school after a term, one of the teachers took me aside and said, I think we owe you an apology because we all thought you were going to be talentless and difficult. I was like, for a start, I wasn't entirely sure why she was telling me that. if you did think that, why on earth did you give me a place?
Yeah.
But I think there is that slight fear that, you know, nepotism is going to breed little showbiz monsters who are going to be difficult.
I think quite often it does, though. That's probably what that's based on. you self-deprecatingly, you know, talked about your career not being as in the public eye as your dad's. Mm. Have you ever thought that those two things are related? Have you ever thought that it's held you back in any way?
I don't know if it has really. Other than in the way that I say, I think sometimes people will make the assumption that you're going to be difficult, or that you're going to be spoiled, or that you're going to be, or just blatantly not very good, really, or that you've had a leg up. If I'd had a leg up, you know, where are my awards at? Where are they at? Anyway, so, but But mostly I haven't really thought about it too much. It pop up every now and again and go, oh, that's a bit weird, isn't it? But I'd certainly purposefully, and I think in a sort of prideful way, had really distanced myself from Dad throughout my career, so that everything I did was separate and was my own thing, and that we could be very clear about that.
Yeah.
And then as Dad, you know, approaches 80, I had got involved with Guildford Shakespeare Company, who are an absolutely wonderful, wonderful company, doing amazing stuff. And I'd done Othello for them the year before, and they were going to do King Lear. And I had, and this is the truth, I had already been cast as Goneril in that. And I was talking to Dad about it in the kitchen. And he goes, you think they might be interested in me doing Lear? I said, well, I'm not going to lie, Dad, I think they might. Mm. I think they might be interested in that. And that was the point where I'd got a bit older.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like, what does it matter? Sure, why not work together?
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think if you'd been a bit younger when he asked that, it might have gone a different way?
Yeah, I might have felt a bit like, a bit stepping on the toes. But like, this time I was like, oh no, what does it matter? I know who I am. My friends know who I am.
Yeah.
My dogs know who I am. Like, fine. Yeah. Just come on, let's do it. Let's do it. We get a kick out of each other.
And I think I read about this, and you said that you, I could be wrong, but that you said that you thought people would assume that he'd then got you the job.
No, but that's
right. You were old enough and wise enough to not really care whether people thought that or not.
I mean, I remember one of the audience members at Guildford saying, oh, well, you know, I mean, of course you'd be in it.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. What is it? You know, but if I go along, do my job well, once again, what does it matter?
No, I've had this conversation with a few of our guests. The reality, of course, as I say every time, is you still have to back up your talent. If you're not good at what you do, then it doesn't matter who our parents are or whatever. Yeah. You still have to be able to do it. Do you have any recollection of when you first realised your dad was famous and not like all the other dads?
I think it was in and around Flash Gordon when I was about 5.
Amazing.
And I did and I didn't know. And I think I sort of slightly amalgamated it into slightly believing, possibly because of the things Dad told me when he came back from filming, that he actually could fly and that, yes, he was part Hawkman. And when he went out for his day job, he put on his wings and he could fly and then he came back in. But it was when that came out, that's when things changed. Like, we couldn't just go to the park because I wouldn't see my dad. He would just get surrounded by people. And that's when it became a bit like, oh, wow, that's strange. That's a bit weird. And it was the same year that he was playing Old Deuteronomy in Cats.
Mm.
And, of course, he used to stay on the stage at the interval and people would, like, come up and talk to him and get autographs and talk to him, and that again I think was a sort of like, oh, people know my dad, that people want to be, you know, near him.
Can you make sense of how that felt at the time? You said weird, but was it exciting? Or
I think I liked it. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, not the being crowded at the park, that made me really sad. That made me feel really like isolated, and you know, that wasn't good. But I did remember feeling proud that, you know, that was the big shaggy cat up there, that was my dad. That was
and
brilliant. I wonder if Dad even knows about the film. Anyway, that's by the by.
What, the
Cats film?
Oh, right. Yes.
not read
great reviews of film,
anyway.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And did you did you go to the cinema to see Flash Gordon? Like, whenever, you know, the start, and that must have been really exciting for a 5-year-old.
No, but I got to sit in Rocket Ajax. Like, I went along to the set.
Right.
Like,
amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I don't think I appreciated it at the time because I was a tiny child, but now I think it's really cool.
in slightly less cool, but in a similar story vibe, my dad, after he was a musician, went into A&R, signing bands. And what I remember two things, actually. One is I got to go on the set of Living in a Box by Living in a Box.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
For anyone younger than 35, that was a song. It was called Living in a Box. And it was by a band called Living in a Box.
So I went to the
set of that. And then my mum was doing backing vocals with Swing Out Sister for a while in the 90s.
Really?
And I got to go to the set of Going Live, and Bross were there.
Oh, well.
And I was like next to Matt and Luke Goss, so...
So there you are.
Does life get any better than... And that was well, that was when they were cool before they became uncool and then came cool again. Yeah. So, you know.
The cycle of Bros.
I raise you your Flash Gordon
I'm very impressed.
Sister and living in a box.
But I back down. That's impressive.
Do you feel like... you mentioned... I just wonder whether people you think other people that you've acted with and worked with, have they treated you differently, do you think, because they know who your father is? Have you had any evidence of that?
Sometimes, I think so. Mm. I mean, I think you can tell quite quickly if someone's being sort of genuine with you.
Do you ever call them on it? Do you ever call them on it if you think they are being like that?
No, just don't bother.
Yeah.
Just gently distance and disappear. No, but most people, like, I think once you sort of get to know me, it's sort of fine, you know. And if they're fans and they want to meet him, that's cool, that's nice. I'm proud of my dad. He's a nice guy and he's happy to like talk to my friends. It's when the little favors start coming in and the little, you know, the emails and my shows this and I start to kind of go,
right.
Perhaps you didn't really like me at all.
People trying to ask you to if he'll appear in things of theirs, that kind of stuff.
Which I understand. God, it's difficult to get anything bloody done in this world. I mean, I do get it, but it starts to make you feel a bit like a bit like. Just a bit itchy, mentally itchy.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A thought just crossed my mind. Has your dad turned down... like royal awards and stuff, you know, CBs, OBEs.
No, we went for it.
What
no,
is it?
He's got an OBE.
Has he got an OBE?
Yeah.
Oh.
I went along. I had a big act.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that when researching him. Oh, that's
yeah.
He
made a big anti-Trump speech afterwards.
Oh, okay. So quite recently.
So it was a couple. About 3 years ago now, I think.
Yeah. The reason I was thinking about it is because he should be a knight. I think
he wants to be a baron.
Okay. How does that work?
Alliteration. I don't know how
like
you
Trump's
get
son.
I don't know how you get to there. But yeah, he wants to be Baron Brian Blessed. Which
Well, of course, for alliteration. Yeah, like
yeah,
you said.
Yeah.
Baron Brian. Oh, I can just imagine.
It feels right.
He should definitely be at least a knight, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Do you think fame in any way affected how he was as a father? Do you think he'd have been any different had he not been a well known, successful, famous actor?
You see, the thing about Dad is it's not so much... I mean, he himself, like, he doesn't go out to parties, he doesn't drink. Both my parents are teetotal. They don't live the lifestyle. They get home ASAP. They're there with the dogs and the animals, and that's how they are. So in a way, though, he'd be away filming, say, for a few weeks, and then I wouldn't see him. But for the rest of the time, I probably saw him more than a lot of kids saw their dads. I wouldn't say that fame changed him as a dad. I think just his... who he is, his personality is unusual, is atypical for a father. Hmm. So he's always been, I guess, more of a friend, really, an eccentric buddy, and very, very inspiring. I mean, growing up with a man like that, you learn to be wary of being safe, that safe is dangerous.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, be yourself and grab onto.
That's interesting what you say about him being more of a friend. I always describe my father as more like a kind of cool older brother who, like, you're... Whenever my dad would meet my friends, they were all like, oh, your dad's so cool, I wish he was my dad, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
There's definitely been parts of my life where I've thought I probably could have done with a bit more of a proper paternal...
Parenty parent.
Have you ever thought anything like that?
I think it's crossed my mind from time to time, but but actually, I don't think I would want that. I think that's not really true. And besides, being a reasonably wayward adult sometimes, but as a child, I was just such a goody-goody. I didn't need that much parenting, really. And besides, my mum was all over it, you know.
Yeah?
She could do both. She was a fine actress, artist, and
Well, tell us a bit more about your mum's career as well, because like you said, she was an actress as well, and presumably is that how your mum and dad met?
That's right, and I would just like to say that my dad was playing support to my mother.
And rightly so.
When they met. Yeah, they met on Boy Dominic. It was a children's series, and he took a very, very long time to ask her out, which he found very frustrating. She
found it frustrating.
Yeah, she found it.
So what was he? Was he intimidated, or was it...
My mum is possibly the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. Mm. I'd take my time. I'd have been scared to hell as well. I understand it. She played Cleopatra opposite Charlton Heston. In a movie.
Very cool.
She's very cool.
Very cool. And then how old were they when they had you?
It was, I think mum was 36. Okay. Or 30, so they're a bit older. Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't want to seem like we were missing your mum out as well. And also, now seems like probably a good time to talk a little bit more about the two plays that you've written that you're doing and that you're working with your mum and your dad on. Do you want to just talk a little bit about them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the things that comes out of being Brian Blessed's daughter is... The beauty of being a writer as well is that is definitely my voice. You know, that's... it can't be mistaken. Those are like, this is the stuff the meat that I want to get into. So that's been wonderful to sort of find a place in that. And the lovely thing is that both my parents want to get involved. And as I say, once again, at this point, I think it's stupid not to. It's more important that my writing reaches more people than protecting my ego again.
Of course.
You know, they're both largely taken from personal experience. So I'm looking at domestic abuse and mental health issues, which of course are interlinked and related. Hence my character running through both plays. I think when Dad first heard it, because he came along to some very early workshops and readings of it, and it just chimed with him. He's been very good about. He wrote in The Dynamite Kid about a breakdown that he had as a young man, and I think
he was 18. Is that right?
It's a difficult, you know, really sensitive time, and I just applaud Dad for that, because to get a man of, particularly of my dad's generation, talking about those sorts of things, I think is absolutely brilliant. And yeah. The more we can, I'm not saying anything new. It's just true. The more we talk about it, the more we get into it, demystify it, destigmatize it, whatever you want to, mm-hmm. you know, call it. And just make people feel like they're not alone. That they're part, you know, we're in this together. We are actually connected as human beings. Once again, not saying anything new here, but like the overwhelming nature of social media, it's very easy to find yourself getting lonely and isolated, yeah. and feeling like you're a bit wrong. So we just want to fight against that. And I also wanted to bring something hopeful to the pieces, rather than, because there's some harrowing bits, along with a lot of laughter, and so enter my mother as this older, wiser figure to come and give some advice from a different perspective, a different age.
Does working so closely together with them, has that led to feedback or any difficulties from notes that you're receiving from your parents?
No, not at all. Dad knows better, so he just keeps his mouth shut, and he's a good boy. So he just tells me that it's very good and that he likes it, and I like that.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
Is that how he likes his notes as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can make that arrangement. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to go back and forth on that. And it's true. I mean, we do genuinely like it, get a real kick out of each other. And with Mum, I carefully wrote this character for her, and she took a pen to it and changed it around and edited it and moved it about. And I said, "You absolutely yes, do whatever you like, because I know that's wise."
Yeah.
And she's so clever, you know. I know I'm going to be like in the best hands. With her. So actually, it's been very easy.
We
just work quite nicely together.
That's lovely. So we're recording this just before Christmas, and you're currently rehearsing them. But why don't you say where? So the play's at the Old Red Lion Theatre, which is in Islington in London. And what are the dates? Where can people get tickets?
We go onto the Old Red Lion website and click onto the theatre and what's on. You can get tickets. It's running from the 7th of January to the 1st of February. Mm-hmm. And it's in mini rep, so sort of one night. Lullabies for the Lost, One Night, Delights of Dogs and the Problems of People.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Wondered if you could think off the top of your head of what the most embarrassing moment was when you were growing up because of growing up around your dad's fame. If you can think of any moments of that ilk.
You see, I mean, I think what I would say on that is that Dad continually attempts to embarrass me, and has never really. My skin has grown very thick. I mean, when I was in primary school, he'd crawl up to the windows and make faces in at the class and at the teachers. And as I grew a little older again, he'd chase me round the supermarket, hitting me over the head with a baguette. That was
in the knowledge that people were watching on, going, "That's Brian Blessed doing that."
Indeed. Yeah. And then I remember going to the Classic Awards, and walking down the red carpet, and Dad introducing me to everybody as his Russian sex worker. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
And were journalists recording that?
Yes, they were.
So basically it sounds like he's kind of a show off who is always trying to make people laugh, but not afraid to do that at other people's expense.
No, especially not at all, but in a very good-natured way.
And presumably that goes both ways then, and surely you try and embarrass him at various times as well. A chip off the old block.
Oh, I haven't, but I should.
Yes, you must.
And I will. I will take that forward.
Well, you'll definitely have the opportunity when you're doing the plays together, surely at some point.
Yes.
We had a question from someone who listens to the podcast.
Oh.
So this is a first for us. Congratulations.
Oh,
Were there ever parties at your house when you were growing up? And if so, who, like, kind of celebrity parties, I guess, or kind of dinner parties? If so, who was there and what was that like?
I'm going to be really disappointing and say no, there weren't.
Well, do you know what? When you said earlier that neither your parents drink and they don't kind of get involved in that celebrity lifestyle, I did kind of.
No, they're quite hermitical, really. So
where does the teetotal thing come from?
I don't know. They never really liked it. My mum just says she doesn't like the feeling of being out of control. And I think likewise with Dad. I think he's quite, you know, he's a big, strong, volatile man. You know, he used to be a skilled boxer. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want that.
No.
Going in the wrong direction.
No.
No.
Well, he's
He doesn't need it. He's already, like, he'll fill any room like a gas.
When I think of your dad, I really think of, I really grew up on Blackadder, and I really think of his role in Blackadder. And then, obviously, most of his roles are that big, big person. So, I can totally understand. He doesn't need alcohol.
No.
He doesn't need anything to. And clearly, from what you were saying about his ability to try and wind you up as well,
he doesn't need
anything to take him to another level.
No shame. He is not constricted. That he doesn't need to throw off his social mores.
Yeah,
he's already on it.
Like the rest of us, certainly do. That question was from Joe Wiggins. Thank you, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Sorry, that was a bit disappointing, Joe.
Keep listening, Joe. Keep sending in those questions. And maybe we'll have a guest who has an answer for one of the questions at some point. A common theme among many of our guests has been that they describe their famous family members as their heroes or idols. Is that you've kind of described your dad as like a less of a dad, more of a cool friend? But is he, you know, are you really inspired by him? You see him as that kind of?
Well, I mean, I do. I mean, he doesn't need me to tell him that he's my idol. I think that would just send him into the stratosphere. No, we don't.
Assume that he's going to listen to this.
Don't know. Oh, yeah. Hi, Dad.
Hello.
He certainly is an inspiration. I love the way that he's so generous with people. He's so generous with animals, with his time, with his energy. He'll go into a room and really make a difference to the people in there. He's very, you know, he's very positive. He encourages people to go be brave and go for their dreams and not get bogged down. It's so easy. Like, it's such a gloomy time at the moment to just feel like you don't even want to get out of bed, really. So I love that. I love that he gives people inspiration. I love that he's really weird. I try to follow that. And yeah, just the way he is with animals. And I've got my house full of rescue dogs as well. You know.
I saw some interviews about and actually on Stars in Your Eyes, they had stuff from his house with his animals. Yeah, it's like Dr. Doolittle in there.
Yes.
And so, would you say that the weirdness has rubbed off more on you, or the positivity, or a bit of both?
Oh, a bit of both. A bit of both. Certainly, some off kilter. Slightly less than sane, eccentric, but also, I'd hope also quite generous and, you know.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself, I'm a very, very good person. Awfully good person. You're very lucky to be in the room with me.
I feel that.
I thought so.
Is your acting technique in any way influenced by your parents, would you say?
I don't know if it's influenced by. I think one of the things, if I'm going to get snarky reviews, what they are going to pick up on is, and not that this should be a bad thing for an actor, but like, I'm so loud. Like, there is a genetic thing there. A singing teacher of mine once said that it's maybe something to do with like having a slightly tilted forward larynx, and it just makes us. I remember doing an outdoor Shakespeare and we kept on getting this note as a company to be louder, to be louder, to be louder. And I kept on taking the note along with everybody else until the director turned around and went, Ross, please, please be quieter. My eyes are bleeding. So there's that.
You're not coming across as overly loud in here.
Yeah, well, I want to take care of the mic. I can go over there and shout if you want.
It just shows your levels of professionalism that you know your
exact
decibel levels.
Terribly, terribly good person, terribly professional. All the good things. Yeah, and I think, like Dad as well, I'm quite happy to go to quite extreme in performance. I could go like larger than life, can go, because I've done a lot of comedy, a lot of heightened stuff.
Mm.
But also, which I don't think people get to see from Dad very often, is that he can be very, very subtle and very small as well.
Mm.
It's just, he's not that often asked to do it.
Have you ever been tempted to write a, you know, kind of heightened versions of yours and your dad's own real lives, kind of some kind of sitcom together, something like that?
Oh, do you know what? It may well happen. I could see that.
I could really see that. I think
we'd have a lot of fun
at home
together.
You know, the kind of at home, imagining that your character, I mean, I'm just spitballing here because it's literally just come up to me, but
yeah.
The idea that your character maybe you've had to move back in with your dad.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And what that
happen,
real life would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, for any of us who are, anyone over 30 still lives with their parents in London. I mean, that's just around London. That's just how it is.
I'll credit you when this comes along.
Well, it's recorded. It's literally recorded. This is an audio contract.
Yeah.
But no, I could totally see that really working. I've certainly, you know, I can just imagine the idea. I mean, I actually almost feel like it would probably write itself. Because the stuff that your dad probably naturally does will be funnier than anything could actually write. So maybe it's an improv piece.
Yeah, maybe it is.
I've just come up with a great idea. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. But like I said, audio contract. Some of our guests have had many lies written about them and their family members in the press. Is that something that's happened to you guys? And can you think of any examples of where it's been bad?
Lies. Oh, I don't think I come up all that often.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think of being
because your dad's
about,
kept out of because your dad's kept out of the kind of party lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's probably been pretty hard for the press
to really
pull him up on anything.
Yeah. I'm trying to think because.
Do you think that's what it is then? Do you think it's basically by kind of embracing when people in the public eye embrace that and go out. Partying on and enjoy having their photos taken, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that then gives the press the rope with which to then tie them?
I feel like they have ownership there. No, I think it is quite smart because for all Dad is expansive and will get out there when he's on stage or when he's doing an event or one man show, then he's all out and he's happy to talk about anything really. We're not much for secrets, Dad and I. Really, we just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is very private, and exactly. So I think that's probably why it doesn't happen because he's, doesn't give anything.
Yeah,
doesn't give anything.
No lies, no dinner parties, no lies.
I'm so boring.
I wanted to go back to your acting being influenced by your parents because. We talked a bit about your dad, but anything from your mum's side of the acting side of things?
Yeah, well, I think it ended up being a sort of balance. Like with Dad, it's the inspiration to be different and brave and make bold choices and, you know, don't be afraid to fail, look an idiot, you know, just go for it. And with mum, I think what I taught was just incredible attention to text and serving writers and finding your place in the story and what your role is and all of that and taught me deep love of playwrights and theatre and all of that side of things.
That side of it's what I kind of describe more as like the actory side of it. You know, like delving into your character.
Yes, all that stuff that makes us sound pretty awful.
I have to say this every time I interview an actor, I have to admit how terrible an actor I am. So I don't even feel able to judge people for sounding pretentious when they talk in actory speak. How did your parents feel about you becoming an actor? Was that something they actively supported? Were they the kind of parents who were like, we want you to do whatever you want to do?
That's exactly it. Yeah, they really did want me to do. It wasn't a done deal when I was. I mean, I'm thick as a brick now, but when I was younger, I was pretty academic, and there was a few things I was really interested in chemistry. I loved history, and wasn't quite sure what was going to win out. And then Then I got seduced by the dark
side. You got the bug.
Yes. But they always said, you know, they would support me in whatever I did, because, you know, they're good parents that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parents should always be like that. I mean, it's mad it's when
right.
I hear about people.
Don't you
it's
think?
Mad when I hear about people whose parents are like, "You must be a doctor, you must
no.
do this." Like, and also because if any, you know, if these kids are anything like me, the moment someone tells me to do something, then of course I'm going to do the direct opposite.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I'm still like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old I get.
Yeah.
Tell me to do something. I don't like it.
I don't get the sense that this is going to be an affirmative answer, but have you ever felt any resentment towards your father's success?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I like this pause. That means
I'm trying to unpick that, because I think there probably has been, like when I was younger and lost, you know, going back to like not being able to go out to the park, or I think sometimes I kind of thought, yeah. Maybe I slightly resented it there. I think that's possible to say that. I sometimes wonder if I look at my mother and how skilled she is and what a wonderful actress she is and how, quite frankly, I feel like the industry forgot her a bit and did not forget my dad. And I think there's a bit of me that's a little bitter about that on her behalf.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't terribly... terribly fair. I mean, I'm searching for it here because, I mean, vastly the answer is no.
Mm.
But I wouldn't say entirely no. I'd say, you know, let's be honest. I think there probably has been.
Your point about the stuff in the park, having spoken to a few people on this, what seems to come across is that it's not resentment of the famous person in their life being successful. What it has been sometimes is resentment that has meant they haven't been able to spend, be it that moment in the park or some moments or some time with them. Do you know what I mean? Does that feel similar?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think as I say, when I was younger, I think maybe there was slight jealousy towards that. But now I like sharing dad with other people. Now I think he's good for people.
Yeah.
So now I don't feel that. Now I feel like it's good. Yeah, though I do sometimes think, he's, you know, my God, he works really hard. I would be struggling to maintain his schedule.
Yeah.
And I do worry now a little bit, like, you know, him going off into the jungle or climbing mountains or whatever. That I sometimes think...
getting in another plane crash.
It's rather a lot that you do, but, I mean... You know.
Do you think he's one of those people where he kind of knows that that's what keeps him going, is just
perhaps.
Being busy, just being high energy
I can't see him being any other way. He doesn't take... If I just come out for a cup of coffee, you'd think, you know, he's known me 44 years. That's, you know... He's still doing shows for me and acting out films in the kitchen. I'm like, why are you still bothering? It's fine. Just chill. But no.
It doesn't... I mean, I guess in the same way that I can't imagine Brian Blessed kind of just being a shy, retiring type, is that in the same way that he doesn't want to be that kind of person. He wants to be up and busy and energetic all the time.
Yes, that's true. I mean, he is also very quiet as well. You know, he'll go into his... into his little cabin that he has in the garden. He meditates. He likes to be quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he has his time. That's good. That's good. How do you think growing up around fame has affected your personal relationships? Do you think there's been any link to... the reason I ask, I say this every time, is I think the reality of me is I see kind of all romantic relationships anyway as kind of... they're only real relationships if they're dramatic, and that's as a result of growing up around dramatic relationships.
Right.
So I just wonder if you see any kind of through line with your experience on, you know, friendships or romantic relationships and how you feel about that.
I think I chose badly on a couple of occasions. I've noticed with a couple of... fortunately not with the fantastic young man that I have now. But a couple of my early relationships... I saw quite quickly that I was only part of why they were in the relationship. There was quite a bit of romancing of my father became apparent after a while.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that did not feel good.
could your, so you can tell that in hindsight you didn't recognise it at the time.
Yeah, and I didn't recognise it initially. Also, yeah, you're young, you're naive, you don't really know. But then, yeah, to start to see that.
So what is that? Is that, so do you, just from that, trying to put myself in that person's shoes, is that, you know, the, that's being able to say, I'm going out with Brian Blessed's daughter. Is that what we're talking about? Or the hope that, no, the hope that he would help their career?
I think the latter to... I mean, a bit of the former, but certainly the latter. Quite shocking after a bit.
Was there ever any admission of that, or like that was a reason, or was that just what came to you?
I mean, because these were quite long lasting relationships. I think I became aware of it after a while. I got a bit older, and I think my mother was aware of it as well, and we had conversations along those lines.
Awful. I'm so sorry.
Shockers. It's fine. It's a long time ago now.
As my mum would say, men are pigs. Men are pigs. Except you, that's son. Not... Except you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I like men. Thanks.
Yeah, they're all right. But that's a terrible... Yeah, that thing wasn't, to realise, I think. It just feels dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels mucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, luckily you've got a lovely man now.
I called
him a young man.
Young man. I know, I'm
which
just awful.
In my head
predatory.
Means he could be any age, and I just want it to stay that way. I don't want an age. I don't want to know.
No, that's right.
I'm proud of you for finding a lovely young man. Okay, and there's a final question that we ask all of our guests. If you could live your life all over again, but without having had a famous father, would you swap?
No. No, I don't think I would.
No?
No.
It doesn't say, from what you've said, I can't think of a reason why you would. He sounds like a...
It's worth it. Well, it's worth the little niggles. And I would say that it's more that I've had some, you know, some little niggles, some little dirty... But for the most part, no, it's been good. I wouldn't swap it.
We're waving our fingers madly. It must look very odd from through the window. Rosalind, thank you so much for coming
you.
On the show.
It's been a joy.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Guys, thank you so much for listening as well. Before I go, I just want to point you all towards an amazing podcast that I can highly recommend you subscribe to. It's called Psy Comedy with the host Nathan Cassidy. It's a show that delves into the dark recesses of the minds of some amazing comedians. And as I know a lot of you guys have loved hearing about the lives of some of the really funny guests we've had on Almost Famous, I can just really recommend you going over and subscribing to Psy Comedy for some amazingly deep and honest discussions. The link to it will be in the description box, so check that out. It's called Psy Comedy with Nathan Cassidy, and it's available via all the usual podcast publishers too, so do check it out. Also, I was going to say more importantly, but that sounds bad, but make sure you do press the subscribe button on Almost Famous so that you can hear these episodes coming out every week, and do rate the podcast and leave us a comment too, because that helps get us seen by more people. You can find us on Instagram at Almost Famous the podcast and on Twitter at Pod Almost Famous. And until next time, thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.